أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة دلالة وكل دلالة في النار وياك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته And like you have been told, inshallah, today we are not going to have any hadith class because of the delay we had on the way. But inshallah, there are some few questions with me here that I will attempt to answer before our prayers. And number one, somebody says, Salamun alaykum, may Allah increase you in knowledge. I read in a hadith that one should be in the state of ablution before one can wipe his or socks. Can one still remove the socks and still pray when the legs had not been washed before you wore the socks? Cool. Probably, I want to say that it is good we understand that whatever we want to do in Islam, whatever you want to do as far as this deen is concerned, must be established on evidences. Evidences from the book and from the authentic sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is also good that as students of knowledge, we must have objective minds. In the sense that sometimes we have our conceptions and perceptions to some issues in Islam. Probably we have been told, probably in our fiqh classes, in accordance to the Maliki school of thought, probably your scholar told you some few things which you had in mind and you feel that is how things are. Then all of a sudden you come to learn of an authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that comes contrary to what you have of perception. It is good you leave whatever perceptions you have as far as they contradict the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The scholars of Islam, the ones we have following, especially the four imams, they have all purified themselves from their ijtihadat. Whatever they did it out of ijtihad, their intellectual perceptions. So they may be sometimes wrong in their verdict because of probably some evidences that never became manifest to them during their time. But they had said that إِذَا صَحَّ الْحَدِيثِ فَهُوَ الْمَذْهَبِ. And Imam al-Malik says, كُلٍ يُخَزْ مِنْ قَوْلِهِ وَيُرَدْ إِلَّا صَاحِبُ هَذَا الْقَبْرِ فَأَشَارَ إِلَى قَبْرِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And scholars say, دَعُوا كُلَّ قَوْلٍ in the Qawli Muhammadin. So leave anything, anybody who says anything, you leave it. Once they say, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ma atakum al-Rasul, fakhuzuhu. Wa ma nahakum anhu, fantahu. So as we go through this class, we will see that sometimes we come across a hadith that run contrary to some of our schools of thought. To Balalibani, you don't cling on to them. That is why Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah wrote the book Raf'ul Malam Anil A'immatil A'lam. Are you understanding me? So that all blames are lifted off them. Because whatever verdict they gave, they gave it in accordance to the evidences they had before them. And nobody is a monopoly of knowledge. Nobody is a monopoly of knowledge. So sometimes things become manifest. Sometimes they are they are not aware of some evidences. So it's in this regard that I said that if one performs ablution, yes, it is a condition, or that before you can wipe over the hoof, you must have performed ablution, or washed your legs, then you wear the hoof or the socks. Right? This is it. Because of the hadith of Mughira ibn Shu'bah, which we are going to read, that he was on a journey with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And normally when the Prophet is performing ablution, the companions used to assist him, not in washing the organs of ablution, but in pouring water. Tell me, there's a machine, you go. You give your hand, somebody washes it for you. Then you give your legs, somebody washes it for you. Probably you also give your face, and he washes it. Muridiyanai. Tawakaba. Tomanza Allah baya aka. Even though Imam al-Bukhari opens a chapter, Babur Rajuli yuwaddihu sahibahu. Babur Rajuli yuwaddihu sahibahu. We'll come to the hadith to know whether one can perform ablution for somebody or one cannot. What is established in the authentic sunnah is that the companions assist the Prophet in pouring water, but they don't assist him in washing the organs of ablution. So Mughira ibn Shu'bah said, when the Prophet was performing ablution, and he wanted, when the Prophet came to wash his legs, so he bent in order to remove the khuf of the Prophet. Then the Prophet said, "Da'ahuma, fa inni adkhaltuhuma tahiratain, fa masaha alayhima." He said, "Da'ahuma, leave them alone. Fa inni adkhaltuhuma tahiratain, because I wore them in a state of purity. Fa masaha alayhima," then he wiped over them. So it's because of this that scholars unanimously agreed that before you can wipe over the hoof, you must have worn the hoof on ablution. It's understood. After wearing it on ablution, then if your ablution becomes vitiated and you want to renew your ablution, then you don't have to remove the hoof. Anganeko, you just do what? You just wipe over the hoof. It's understood. Now I then told you last week, that is it a condition that after wiping over the hoof that you must pray in the hoof, or it is not a condition? Anganiko, then I told you that the best opinion, Anganiko, is it is not obligatory that after wiping over the hoof you cannot pray, that you must pray in the hoof. It's not obligatory. Anganeko, it's not obligatory. Now you will say, I perform ablution, I wipe over my hoof, then I remove the hoof while coming to the mosque. It will be said that, but you did not wash the legs. And wipe what you wiped over, which is the hoof, you have already removed it. So it will appear as if you are praying with al-lum'ah. Anganiko, now some scholars of the Malikis, they say your ablution mark for even removing the hoof, some of them say your ablution is vitiated. You have to re-perform the ablution. You renew the ablution. Right? And some of the scholars of Malikis say, no, you don't renew the ablution, but then you wash the legs. Anganiko, but the Hanabila say, no, the hadith has been authentically reported from Abu Zabyan and Ali ibn Abi Talib. That Ali ibn Abi Talib performed ablution. He wiped over the hoof. He came into the mosque. He removed the hoof and he prayed. إِذَا صَحَّ هَذَا عَنْ عَلِيٍّ ibn Abi Talib فَالْحَدِيثُ صَحِيحٌ مَوْقُوفًا. If it is authentic from Ali, it means this is what he learned from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَلَهُ حُكْمُ الرَّفْعِ. And this hadith are reported by Imam At-Tahawi and Imam Al-Bayhaqi bi sanadin sahih. And that is why scholars say it is not obligatory. And that is why they gave to bring it closer home. Right? They said if you have a bushy hair like my brother, and then you wipe over the hair. Are you understanding me? And then you come and shave off the hair from your head. Anganeko, it will not be said that you have to rewipe the head. The ablution is there. Are you understanding me? So just like the ablution is there after having wiped over it and removing the hair, such is it, if you wipe over the hoof and you remove the hoof and you pray, it is okay. It's understood? Sannan kuma, you inshirahu sadr, you have to open your heart to receive the fruit. Anganeko, open your heart. If you don't open your heart, if you make your heart so, you will not be able to accept the fruit. Go, don't want abun. Kai. I asaba ma. You know, intellect. The intellect cannot. Don't become aklani yun. Are you understanding me? No. Work with what is authentic of the nusus. Anganeko, work with what is authentic of the nusus, and you'll be free. It's understood. Allah is amurachi. Iti assalamu alaikum. May Allah bless you and grant you Jannah. Please, as we can wipe over our turban if we put it on our head, can we do the same to cap if we put them on? Can we wipe over the cap? Jamhurul ulama, majority of the scholars of the opinion that you cannot wipe over the cap. Are you understanding me? They feel that the cap is very easy for you to do what? To remove and wipe, then put back. Unlike the turban, because the turban, after you've tied it, it is difficult for you to remove. Anganeko. But then, Ibn Hazm al-Andalusi and Ibn Taymiyyah, are you following? And Ibn Munzir and Imam Hassan al-Basri and Sufyan al-Thawri, these are great scholars of Islam. They are of the opinion that anything that you put on your head, are you understanding me? You can wipe over it. So included in that, they say that you can also wipe over the caps. This is their argument. Are you understanding me? That just like one can wipe over the turban, whatever is put on the head, one can wipe over it, the head cover. Are you understanding me? This is the argument. If you go to Al-Muhalla Bil-Athar of Ibn Azhar al-Andalusi and Majmu'ul Fatawa of Ibn Taymiyyah and Sahihu Fiqh al-Sunnah of Abu Malik, they argue that one can wipe over the what? The cap. I look at it in the case. When I was reading the questions, people were saying, Hawa, cap. No, don't always give up. Anganeko. So these are scholars and they are great scholars. But then it will be better. Anganeko, if there are arguments among the mustahidun, the best is for a student of knowledge to follow what is safest. Anganeko, because the Prophet said, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنْ وَالْحَرَامَ بَيِّنْ وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُرٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. So as students of knowledge, it will be more advisable that since the caps are easy for you to remove, so as to be free from the arguments of scholars, are you understanding me? Wipe over the hair and then put on your cap. It's very easy. Anganeko, it will be better. Since Ibn Taymiyyah, they feel al-aslu is wiping over the hair. This is the aslu. It is a rukhsa that you wipe over the guitar or ras. So since some scholars and majority of the scholars have the opinion that you cannot wipe over the cap, and some few are of the opinion that you can wipe over, then the best is full. And most of them, we don't have a nas, which is direct and to the point, which is direct and explicit, that says we can wipe over the cup. Only they are all arguing around the fact that the Prophet ﷺ wiped over the turban and it is a head cover. And since it is a head cover and the cup is also a head cover, then it means one can wipe over it. More so that the Bilal says he saw the Prophet ﷺ wiping over the turban and the khimar. And the khimar is just the head cover, whatever you use to cover the head. Anganiko. So that is why Sufi Ibn Taymiyyah of the opinion that you can also wipe over the caps and things like that. But the best is in order to avoid argument, are you understanding me? Say, Kabari, just wipe over your hair and leave the cap. It's understood. Wallahu a'lam. Assalamu alaikum. Please explain the conditions of wiping socks and how to wipe it. So, don't be hasty. There is a chapter in this book as we go along on Babu al-Mashi al-Khufayn. So when we come under that chapter, we will explain all the conditions that you will want to hear. It says, Assalamu alaikum, madam. Please, in cases where we have to do our ablution in the toilet or a bathroom, and we say basmala inside it, is it valid? Yes, it is valid. Anganiko. What we will say is probably mentioning Allah's name, go in the toilet or in the bathroom, go back over. Shine abunda ake cewa, probably it is not good. In spite of the fact that we do not have any authenticness from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you don't mention Allah's name in the toilet. We don't have it. You don't have an authentic evidence from the book of Allah or the sunnah of the Prophet, which is direct and explicit, that says you don't mention Allah's name in the toilet. It's not there. Are we following? But then what scholars say is that Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُعَزِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. If you honor and dignify the signs of Allah, it is a sign of piety. So these are names of Allah. Are you understanding me? You dignify it. You honor it. You don't take them to the toilet. You don't mention them in the toilet to show respect and honor to the words of Allah. But we do not have an authentic evidence that says it is haram. But then we might deduct from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar and the hadith of Muhajir ibn Qunfuz, that Muhajir ibn Qunfuz says, once he passed by the Prophet was urinating. Anganiko, and then he said the salam to the Prophet. And the Prophet did not answer the salam, he was urinating. And after the Prophet finished urinating, the Prophet performed tayammum on the wall. Are you understanding me? Then he said, wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Then he said, inni akra'u an afkura allaha illa ala taharatin. Inni akra'u. Anganiko, I hate to mention the name of Allah except that I am in a state of purity. So I love to mention Allah's name in the state of purity. So since he said he hates it, he did not say it is what? Haram. He did not say it is haram. But he said he hates to do that. So in that regard, it will be said to be makruh. Ala al-aqal. Are you understanding me? Because Aisha says, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yathkurullaha ala kulli ahyanihi. In whatever condition, in whatever state the Prophet finds himself, he does remembrance of Allah. But then he hates to mention Allah's name while he's impure. But that does not mean it is what? Haram. Are we following me? Then we have a hadith from Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. He says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade us from facing the Qibla while we are defecating or while we are urinating. We should not face the Qibla or we should not give our back to the Qibla. Then he said, فَقَدِمْنَا الشَّامِ فَوَجَدْنَا الْمَرَاحِيدِ قَدْ بُنِيَتْ نَعْوَ الْكَعْبَةِ فَنَنْحَرِفْ عَنْهَا وَنَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. He said, when we went to Sham, Syria, Damascus, Sham, when we went there, we met that their toilets are built facing the what? Facing the Qibla. So when we enter such toilets, فَنَنْحَرِفْ عَنْهَا, we turn away from the Qibla, وَنَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ, and we say the istighfar. Where do they do the istighfar? I say, where do they do the istighfar? Outside the toilet or inside? Huh? Inside. He said, وَنَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ. I said, that the guy's scholar said, how is the istighfar done there? Imam al-Malik says, since there is no authentic nas, which is direct, that says you cannot mention Allah's name, he said you should mention it even while it is allowed. This is the opinion of Imam al-Malik. Anganiko, the scholars who say you should honor, they say, okay, you can mention Allah's name best in your heart, silently, with tariq al-lisan. With tariq al-lisan. You murmur it with your lips or your tongue, Anganiko, to your own hearing. So it is, I'm bringing all this so that you know this argument. Anganiko. So, if you say bas bismillah, are you understanding me? It is valid. Anganiko, when you are inside the toilet bed, it is better that you say it within yourself. Don't say it aloud, giving honor to the name of Allah. What machine? Please, can a sister wipe on her niqab? Last time I said Umm Salama, one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wiped over her khimar. The khimar is the head cover. And it is not reported that any of the wives of the Salaf wipe over their niqab. Kaba. So you follow what is authentic from our predecessors. So it is better you wash the face. Anga niko, you don't wipe on the niqab. It is not authentically reported that you wipe over the niqab. What is authentically reported from Umm Salama is you wipe over the khimar. Wallahu a'lam. Then finally he says, Salaamu alaikum, please ma'alam. Area covered by ring. Is it a dry spot or should I remove the ring while performing ablution? You don't have to remove the ring while you are performing ablution. Anganeko, it is sufficient for you to just to shake it. Shaking is that it? You twist it. Do you twist? So all is, what is important is you move it, you know, a little bit, shake it so that water gets into it. And this is also not obligatory. Anganiko, go answer, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wears the ring. Wanakshu, the naksh of the ring of the Prophet is Muhammadun Rasulullah. It is written on the ring of the Prophet Muhammadun Rasulullah. So whenever a letter or anything is written for the Prophet, it is the seal of his letter. So you see it, that is the stamp. Anganiko. So can I get in the stamp of the Prophet, you know that this letter is for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anganiko, and it is not authentically reported that whenever the Prophet comes to perform ablution, he removes the ring. It doesn't. What is reported from Anas ibn Malik, from a hadith of Abu Dawud, is that when the Prophet goes to toilet, that I also ought to have mentioned, is that when the Prophet goes to toilet, because Muhammadun Rasulullah is written, he removes it. So that he does not enter the toilet with what? With something, with the name of, with the inscription of Rasulullah. Amma, the hadith is not authentic. The hadith is weak. So since it is weak, la yustashhadu bihi. Whatever is weak, not authentic, you don't do what? You don't use it as an evidence. That is why you don't say, I am on the Allah, ma idha zai shiga toilet yana tire. Ah, no. Wannan bai inganta ba. Angane ko? By inganta ba, that he removes the ring. It's not authentic from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What some scholars say is that what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does is he puts the fas. This is the fas. What do you call this? Here. He puts where the inscription is. he puts it inside. Then he covers it. That's what some scholars say. Are we following me? Which I have not seen reported Sanadan. It has not been reported Sanadan. And like I told you, Abdullah ibn Mubarak says, Al-Isnadu min ad-Din. Falawla al-Isnad, laqala man sha'a ma sha'a. Whenever you say the Prophet did or the Prophet said, we said, Sammulana rijalakum. Are you understanding me? You bring your evidences. And then when you quote hadith, we want to know the chain of narration of the hadith to know whether it is authentic anganeko from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If hadith is not authentic, you don't use it as an evidence. So the hadith of Anas ibn Malik is not authentic. Anganeko chewa manza Allah yana chire, he used to remove the ring. It is not authentic from the Prophet. So you cannot use it to say you can't enter the toilet with the inscription or anything that has the inscription of Allah. Anganeko. But then it is sufficient for us to say that whatever has the name of Allah, you dignify it, you honor it, you don't take it to dirty places. Why? Because the Quran says, "Man yu'azzim sha'air Allah, innaha min taqwal qulub." Anganiko, we can get from that. Anganiko, wanna suni Abu Bandazam Fada, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala wa sahibi wa sallam, assalamu alaikum. Indamukai kuskuri Allah yafi mana. Assalamu alaikum. Nagan di.